God's word in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 said that God, who at sundry times in divers manners, different manners, in times past spoken to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You recall in our recent lessons we mentioned, talked about Jesus' baptism in one of those. Jesus, as he was being baptized after his baptism, rather, at the by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, when he came up out of the water, says, "Lo, a voice from heaven said that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Later, that was in Matthew 3:17. Later in chapter 17 of Matthew, in the verse 5, we see the story of the transfiguration of Jesus there with Moses and Elijah appearing there before Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, the inner three of the apostles. And a period of time, you know, Peter made some statements. He wanted to build some form of recognition in the form of a tabernacle to an altar to all three of them. I mean, he saw that as an auspicious occasion, you know. Let's do honor to where honor is due. And then after, just a little bit later, a voice from heaven would again speak. And only Jesus was there, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Some people listen to the wrong voices. I notice that got your attention more than my voice does. So I may just hit it a few more times. But, you know, anybody was nodding off just like that, you know. But no. So as Jesus teaches, while here on earth, he's fulfilling God's will. He's fulfilling the divine plan that God had for man from the very beginning. God knows the heart of man. He knew the heart of Adam and Eve. He knew when he told them, "Thou shalt not," that they would. And plans were already made for the salvation of mankind during the prior to the creation of the earth. That plan was already in place. And God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." The message is the same for us today. We read the same Bible. It's Jesus' words, or it's the Holy Spirit's words, and the apostles, the various writers, is guided by the Holy Spirit of God. They're all God, and it's all God's will. We have to be able to rightly divide it. Old from New Testament. Rightly divide a lot of the teachings as to the time period. But it's God's word. He has spoken, it says in Hebrews 1:1-2, his Son has spoken, that's past tense, so he's not speaking to you in a little voice in the middle of the night. Now we may pray to him, and we may feel closer to him as a result of prayer, and that should be a usual thing. But within the Bible, we have the word spoken by the Son, are the words that the Holy Spirit guided these writers to write. So it is God-inspired. God-breathed. He's still God's Son today. His word still has that same authority, that same ring of authority that it did to those people on that mountain in chapter 5. That mountain, as he spoke to multitudes of people from all around the Palestine area who had come to hear this unusual individual who could perform miracles, who had these strange new teachings, who spoke of a kingdom that was coming, a kingdom that was at hand. And so he proceeds to speak to them about those who would be fit subjects of that kingdom. We continue our study this morning in the Life of Christ series. And of recent note, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount, the area of the Beatitudes. First three Beatitudes we studied, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. Let's read those first few verses of chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount. That's chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Chapter 5. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that last one is the one we want to look at this morning in our study. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We mentioned early on that these Beatitudes, at least for purposes of study and a deeper understanding, can be divided into three sections. The ascription or the ascribing or the assigning of a blessing by saying the word blessed or happy, content. And then the characteristic. The character, the attitude that's to be possessed by the one that's to be a member, a fit candidate, a subject of Jesus' kingdom. Poor in spirit, they that mourn, the meek rather. And then the promise, the blessing promised. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. So, and a lot of times, not all of you probably think like me, thank goodness. But I like to divide things down when I try to look at something, look at a problem or look at a scripture. Divide it down, I can better understand it by looking at the parts. Don't give me the whole thing all at once. That confuses me, especially as I get older. You know, let me go a little portion. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. One fellow said, yard by yard, it's hard. So little by little, we can accomplish great things. First three Beatitudes describe the beginning of our faith. Person who is poor in spirit is open to help outside themselves because they're poverty stricken as far as their spiritual resources are concerned, except for God. And except for Christ. This is someone who will listen. This is someone who will hear the Son of God. That God backed up and said had his approval. He was pleasing. The remaining Beatitudes of the five indicate the perfection, and it indicates the trial of that faith. It talks about the blessed of the persecuted. And this beatitude we're considering this morning, number 4, in verse 6, ties into the other three. It sustains a direct relationship to the other three. These are not some ones that you can say, like Ben Franklin was quoted to have said that he'd begin one characteristic that he felt God would have him have, and then he'd work on another one next week. Well, you got to do them. You need to do them. Have these in order. It's just like our coming to God, our coming to Christ for salvation. We got to believe what God's word says. We got to believe that we're lost in our sins before we'll come to the solution that God has promised in Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Why worry about forgiveness of something that you don't think you have sin? So unless a person is convicted in their hearts that they are sinners, that they are lost. Not in the day of judgment. We won't look at right now because we don't know when the day of judgment will be. And we're encouraged, both Old Testament and New Testament, to be prepared. Those who recognize that they are spiritually destitute, in other words, without God, I am nothing. Without Christ, I am nothing. Can see that in Christ, I can do all things, as Paul says, through Christ which strengtheth me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Then I'm not concerned about my actions. I'm not as concerned about what I'll do next, because as I study God's Word and I lean on His Word, as I fellowship with other Christians, I come to a realization of what God wants for me. I draw closer to Him. I draw closer to His Word. I treat His Word as the authority upon which I act and react in my life every day, not just on Sunday morning. When the judgment day comes, according to Matthew chapter 25, there will be no patting on the back because we showed up on Sunday morning to partake of the Lord's Supper. There will be no patting on the back because we showed up to sing two or three or four or five songs or just sit there and listen. Jesus talks about things that are a little bit more personal. Relationships with others. The sister was talking about, the younger sister. I've been not called younger sisters and older sisters. I get sisters upset. But my younger sister was talking about somebody that had given her a Kroger card, $100 Kroger card for Christmas, and she didn't especially desire that person to give her anything for Christmas. So she said, you know, I'm going to go to Kroger's and I'm going to listen in on people talking. And if they talk about all the trouble they've had in the flood, I'm going to hand them the card. And I thought that was good. But I really didn't think she, you know, some people you think, well, they don't think about others as much as maybe they think about themselves. But, you know, we need to get off our, and don't rely on Philip writing a check to go over to the disaster relief. They need some more money. You may have been wondering, as I've been wondering, well, what can I do? I want to do something for somebody here. I've been pleased to go out. Those who recognize that they're spiritually destitute, who mourn over their sins, want to get rid of those sins. See the sins of others. See the condition of the world. The sorrows. The suffering. They're the ones who begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hungering and thirsting. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to multitudes and His disciples. He speaks to those who really are fit subjects for the kingdom or what they'll be like. And He speaks of the blessed, those who are happy, those who are content despite their outward circumstances and their state in life. When this flood was going on last week, many people were interviewed. Nobody totally broke down, although I'm sure there probably some that have. Because there's enough happened to them. Lost their job, maybe lost their business, lost their home, and say they had a mortgage on it. Guess what? To rebuild that home they got there now to make it fit and suitable for living in, they're going to have another mortgage. I mean, the government gives you help, but they don't pay for where you live. They give you cheap money, but cheap money is still money a lot of times that has to be paid back. In this beatitude, Jesus speaks of hunger and thirsting. And we know that they knew, that multitude knew, those disciples had gone through those times of hunger, those times of being thirsty. And since the flood in Nashville, Middle Tennessee, the call has gone out for help. Food is needed. Water is needed. You say, water? Nashville, it seems like Nashville, they got enough water for everybody if they'll just wash. But you know, some of you have had to go through that. Haven't been able to wash your clothes as often maybe as you like to wash your clothes, or have to go to another county to wash your clothes or something. Those weren't hardships in the old days back when we were coming up as kids, you know. As long as you had a creek flowing through the property, you had water. The spring house. Many assisted in handing out food and water. You know, I appreciate people like that. People rallying to help other people. Well, that's what Jesus was all about. But first of all, he had to reach the people. They had to be in his kingdom so they could go forth as his subject, as his subjects, and that he was their master. Millions of dollars have been given to provide for these needs, basic needs. And as I mentioned a while ago, you know, one of those boxes for 4 days for a family of four. There's people who don't need food for more than 4 days. I mean, we had a time where our freezer electricity went out and we lost everything in our freezer when we were at the Boers Ranch. Well, I was kind of glad we lost all that one, because somebody gave us a hog and they cut up every part of the hog they could think of and wrapped it up. And we supposed to, you know, we appreciated them giving us a hog. But we never did eat the squeal, you know. I don't know what all was in there, but we weren't used to that type. We're more beef eaters, at least after we've grown up, than we were pork eaters. But, you know, I was out at Richard's house, Richard Sanders. He had water in his basement. He went down in his basement to help clean it up. I told Connie that's what he did, and he fell while he was down there trying to clean it up. And out there the other day, I noticed he'd hired somebody, which is what he should have done. Hired somebody to clean that basement up, people out in the backyard. I saw his fence, a chain link fence. I said, Richard, what happened to that chain link fence? I said, did a tree fall on it and the rain or whatever? He said, no, the flood water got up to the top of that fence. About 4 feet of water. Now, and I don't know. I've been Richard looking out the back window and seeing all that water running by. Thoughts would have run through my mind of a person I know from the Bible, Noah. Or that song we used to sing as a kid, the floods came up and the rains came down and the floods came up. And it was fun singing. But it was no fun being in that. There are those today, though, not only Jesus is talking not about physical hunger. He's not talking about physical thirst. He's not talking about physical difficulties. But today we are facing a spiritual crisis in this country of great proportions. And I think it's obvious as we read the paper, as we hear the news, as we see now, and it's not all doom and gloom. They're still great people. They're still good people. But the basic direction of this country is significant today as it relates to God, as it relates to worshiping God. Because God is not treated as significant. Don't even mention his name. It's not politically correct to do so. And even among those who would say they're religious, who would say that they're spiritual, God, his word, Christ, his church, gathered together on the first day of the week and at other times, has become meaningless to many. Read about one young lady. I mentioned it on Wednesday night. One lady was interviewed for this by this writer. It was on the front page. She was a member of the Church of Christ, 23 years old, and said the church, really, in other words, was irrelevant. She attended the Church of Christ when she was growing up, but she no longer believed that you need to be part of the church. Now there's somebody that that wasn't brought up in the way that they should go, or if they were, they've gone a different way. They've been hearing different messages from the pulpit than you're going to get from this pulpit. People have been beating around the bush long enough. There's a lady, really, that if she doesn't turn herself around, she's headed for hell. We don't like to talk about that, do we? Heard on the radio this morning coming in. One preacher up in Franklin said, you know, people don't think that, they think that there's a different God now. That the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. And granted, we have many teachings in the Bible, in the New Testament, on love. But we have love mentioned in the Old Testament. Jesus was asked about the two greatest commandments. Love God. Love your neighbor yourself. He said, that sums it up. That sums it up. He talked about love. Paul wrote about love, 1 Corinthians 13. And it was going to solve a multitude of problems in the city of Corinth. But you know, there's a tidal wave of apathy, of complacency, really. And I think it threatens the Lord's church. But anyway, this lady that they're talking about in the, writing about in the Bible, in the front page of the Tennessean, was telling how she just, could go outside in her backyard, or could go somewhere around her house and meet with God. And you can do that. But if you're reading your Bible, I doubt she's reading her Bible because she doesn't, that's not all that's in the Bible about meeting God wherever you are and that God is everywhere. That's true. But there is a need, brethren, and we need to get this in our heads. There's a need for us as Christians gathering together. When you're not here, you can't encourage me. It discourages me. It discourages me immensely. Unless your health is such that you can't drive at night. Unless you've got something that God will understand because I don't understand. Now there are a lot of things I don't understand. I realize that. But brethren, we're not going to be able to say, Lord, Lord, still on the Sermon on the Mount. Kind of skipped around a little. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But everyone, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. How many of us this morning would stand and say, I know fully the will of God. Therefore, I won't be back this afternoon to study. I know fully the will of God, therefore I will not be back Wednesday night when y'all study the Bible. I study the Bible at home. I was asking Jerry Thursday when we were out visiting together. I said, what do you think Janice was doing on Wednesday night while we were studying the Bible? She was studying the Bible. See, there's no excuse. As far as I see, God has to make one up for us, I guess. You see, Janice is conscious. She worries about not being here, even though she can hardly walk. I'm sure Richard Sanders is sitting out there worrying about him not being able to be here. One of these days, he's going to get out there in that garage and start that car up, and he's going to head this direction, whether he should be driving or not. What about those shut-ins that don't have the fellowship of other Christians? That don't have the encouragement of other Christians? Are you visiting them? Are you calling them? Are you encouraging them? Now, I appreciate Joe this morning saying that you enjoyed my sermons. I hopefully you're not enjoying this. If you're enjoying it, you're sound asleep. I read some of those articles in that Gospel Advocate. I know that's not the gospel. But it's what other people are preaching and saying. And you listen to one who doesn't write, but I talk a lot. I'm going to shut up here in a few minutes. We need to have a perception of what's really going on within our own thinking, with our own minds. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Am I saved today? Am I saved today? If Jesus would call me today, would I be saved? If my life ended this very day, my son Mike's life ended early. He only had his 42 years. Most of us are headed in that direction or past it. Some of us have high blood pressure like me. Cholesterol, high cholesterol. Sugar. Worst form of deception. Self-deception. To deceive our own selves. To place ourselves in a church building and think, that's what I have to do to please God. Where did you hear that? On Sunday morning. I don't even know early the other than the fact that the church was started on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or so. I don't know whether the church met in the morning. They met a lot of them met every night. Jerry was pointing that out to me, you know. And I was asking Janice, I said, Janice, we go visit people that are shut in. And I said, there are other shut-ins that I don't visit, and others that are not here on Wednesday night or Sunday night. I said, how did they get their strength for continuing to serve God? She said, well, my husband's a preacher. Said, you know, I hear your sermons. I hand her an outline. What if we handed out outlines to everybody, mailed them to you? If you can't get in. And I know there's some that can't. I don't like to drive at night. It's going to get to a place probably where I can't drive at night. But at 5 o'clock in the afternoon is not night. 5 o'clock in the afternoon is not night. So, you know, this is something you got to talk to. I'm not going to point out individuals that this is what you need to do or that's what you need to do. But we individually are going to give an answer for what we've done in this body. We're going to give an account unto God, and we don't know whether we're going to give an account 10 years from now or 10 minutes from now. Noah preached for 120 years, and that flood in his day would make this flood in our day look like a little stream. And you know there were people that wanted to be saved once the water started coming up. You know, picture that house, that log house that was burning. You remember seeing that out in Pennington Bend on the news or read about it in the paper? They wondered, it's out in the Arford Lane. It looked like a beautiful house. Going up in smoke, you wonder, is there anybody in that house? What's the story about that house and whoever was in it? Well, later, one channel went out and sought that person and interviewed her. And she was in that house when she noticed flames coming out of the garage. So not, and the rain was already up, water was already up too high. Boy, it hit that area just like that. Some of the people said they couldn't find out information. All the TVs were saying rain, 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 flood, flood, flood. Pins and bins, never seen anything like that. Now, Opryland did back in 72, but you know, got short memories. But that woman was interviewed and she said, you know, I was looking out that water and I had two choices. I could stay in that house and be burned alive, or I could jump out and drown. I guess you couldn't swim, and I don't know where you could swim that water anyway. Flood of Noah's day, the judgment day to come, one of water, one of fire. She said, I would have chosen the water. Many of you have had burns. I got one yesterday. Sunburn. No sunscreen on. That's not me. You know, I got my hat on and long sleeve shirt. I don't need that. Yeah, you do. You're out in the sun watching the ball game, granddaughter. That lady said I'd have jumped in that water. She wasn't given much leeway. She wasn't given any time to get out at all. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why she didn't hear along with others or somebody go by and knock on the door. But I'm trying to show that she didn't have much longer to live, really, as she looked out her door and saw that guy come up on that, what is it called? Some kind of little speedboat, skidoo, whatever. Yeah, and she said, he saved me. He saved me. There's a Savior waiting to save each one of us. But you know, we have to get on that boat like Noah got on the boat. And the only reason he got on the boat, the Bible says, is there was total wickedness, chapter 6 of Genesis. He got on that boat because he walked with God. You walk every day? Good idea. We get around every day. Are we walking with God every day? We'd like to be tapped on the shoulder by God just any day of the week? Or would we prefer Sunday morning? It's going to sneak up on us like a thief in the night, the Bible says. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's that intense desire. Just like a man that's out in that desert, the sons of the pioneers sing that song, all day I've tasted the barren waste, or faced the barren waste without the taste of water. And he said, cool, clear water. Just made you making me thirsty to think about it. Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is the bread of life, and he asked us to come to him and to keep coming. First John 1:7 says, our sins are taken care of, but we have to continue to walk in the light as he's in the light. And we read about how to do that here. We studied about how to do that on Wednesday night. We're studying about how to do that at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Better have your excuses made up, because I read of a book. That just lets me know that God's keeping up. I can't earn my way to heaven, but I sure can earn my way to the other place. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there's going to be more folks that's going to be on Broadway than on a more narrow street. If you're here this morning not a Christian, if you studied on your own or studied with somebody and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, why not come to Christ this morning? Come confessing Christ as your Savior after repenting of your sins, turning away from the life that you now live. come to Christ and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. The Bible teaches that. I don't teach it as a matter of course. I teach it because that's what God's Word says. And we're going to be judged out of God's Word. Therefore, I need to be encouraged to study it. This is a book. This is your guide. This is my guide in life. If you're a Christian, you need our prayers, or if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why not come this morning as we stand?